good. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, if you would, please. We started a couple of weeks ago, I guess 2 or 3 weeks ago, on a Wednesday, to a series called Major Events in People of the Bible. And as we cover these events, it's not just for those that may not be familiar with the stories or familiar with the events to know what happened historically, though it's always good to know that. But for us, even though we know the story, there's much we can still learn today that God is teaching us on why those things even came to pass. See, God uses these historical records not only to teach us about the past, but more importantly, to teach us about Him and our relationship with Him. God wants us to know Him better, and through the study of His book, we can definitely learn the lessons that He wants us to learn. So this evening, we're talking about Noah and the flood. And we're going to look at some verses here in Genesis chapter 6. It's really chapters 6 through 9, but we're not going to read all about the flood and everything that was going on, but we're just going to highlight a few things that we can learn today to help us to just to be closer to the Lord. And so, first of all, we see in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." And the first lesson we see here is that man is a sinner, and God hates sin. We learned that last week or so when we were talking about the fall of man and what happened to create it, what started all this. But here we see that God doesn't change. Even though there's been a multiple number of people on the earth now, and they're men of renown, they're mighty men, the righteousness and the relationship, you might say, of the parents did not fall on the children. See, the ones before this, it doesn't say all the generations here in these in first parts of Genesis, but we know that when Adam and Eve were cast out of the presence of the Lord, and they were told to multiply and replenish the earth, and they were to do that as God commanded all the creatures to do that. And they knew God. I mean, they walked with God. they knew very well who God was. And you can see many of the scriptures in there that talk about those earlier, before the sons of Adam that were born in chapter 5, and the people that were there that were living. And they should have known the Lord. I mean, it wasn't that many years passed between them two that they should have known God. And you thought it might pass down to them, but that's not the way it works. And some people think just because their parents were Christians that they're Christians, and that's not the way it works. God sees man as a sinner. It doesn't matter who they came from or what parents they were born from. It doesn't make you righteous just because your parents were Christian or right in the sight of the Lord. So the sins of mankind were in everyone. Chapter 6, verse 5 shows us that mankind is a sinner by nature. It said here that, you know, God saw the wickedness. You can't keep anything from God. He saw the wickedness was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. Now, our situation today is not great. When you look around the world and you look around the laws that have been created and the things that people have done and to try to make right wrong and wrong right and so forth, it's not a great place. And we're all looking forward to the time that Jesus is going to come back and take us home. But I don't think that it's as bad as what it was right here when God was looking down upon the earth and saw that every imagination of every person's heart was evil continuously. I mean, I get tired of sin, but can you imagine the sin being so prevalent in the earth that every person on the face of the earth was only thinking evil all the time in their hearts on what they could do wrong? It must have been extremely bad because God, you know, decided to bring the flood and take care of that whole situation. But 6:5 shows mankind is a sinner by nature. Verses 11 and 12 show mankind is a sinner by practice. Look at those verses with me. Verse 11 says, "And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." See, though people may not understand or believe when you tell them that they're a sinner, by nature, they're a sinner. But by their practice, they're a sinner also. We can just look, you can look at your life before you're saved and see what you used to be involved in and what you used to do. And all it was times in your life that you were not being the type of person you should have been. And you were falling into sin because it was by nature and by our practice to be sinners. And what we learn from this is that God never justifies sin to make an exception for anyone. It didn't matter to the Lord who these people were, or what family they were from, or, you know, what relationship they had, or anything else about their pedigree or background or who they were, where they live. God saw it as sin, and so severe, he had to be just and take some action against it. And so God doesn't make exceptions just because we think that we're not sinners or we come from a good family or so forth. God sees it all the same. So the first lesson, man is a sinner and God hates sin, brings us to the second lesson we can learn today is God's judgment will always come before, God's judgment will always come, but always offers a way out. God will bring judgment into on this earth. But when he brings judgment, he also brings a way out for everyone. See, the people chose to do wrong. They made the choice to have these evil thoughts and to be violent and to do the things they were doing on this earth. Patience comes from the Lord much, much more than we have patience. And 1 Peter 3:20 tells us, that which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. God was commanded Noah to build the ark to save as many as would enter into the ark. He gave them a way out of the flood. Noah was preaching to them for over 100 years to tell them that this earth was going to be destroyed, the rains were going to fall. Of course, they didn't know what that was at the time, and that they needed to enter in order to be saved. And there's no difference today when we tell people that they're a sinner and they're going to go to hell if they don't repent and trust Christ as their Savior, and they say, "No, I don't want that way out. I don't think I need it." And all the people of the earth were so evil and so wicked, and even though Noah was righteous and he was preaching to them, they were not going to accept anything this man had to say. They looked at the thing he was building, and if you ever been seen the pictures of Kentucky or you ever seen those that they rebuilt over there, you realize how big the ark was. It had enough room for everybody to be on there, including the animals, and yet they looked at that as mocking Noah for what he was doing. Like, why are you even doing this? You're just wasting your time. And so many people think today that, you know, you being here on a Wednesday afternoon is wasting your time. Why are you here? Why you should be out somewhere enjoying COVID or something. You know, why are you here getting infected? Well, you can be at a bar drinking and being free from COVID. And so people chose to do wrong. The patience of God only lasts for so long. He was patient, but the rain still came. And when God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. It tells us in chapter 6, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and a creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. When God says something, it comes to pass. You know, when we were studying much before this, you know, before this day, we were studying the book of Revelation and went through all the things that are coming and what's going to happen and all the things that God's going to bring upon this earth. You realize there's many people who call themselves Christians who look at that and say, well, I don't believe God would ever do something like that to us or to this earth or to people. That would be too cruel to cause people to die, one-third of the population die, and then another fourth of the population die. And, you know, and people look at the thing today and say, you know, if there's really a God, why is he allowing COVID? You know, why didn't he just take care of this and snap his fingers and it's gone? They don't know God as the just God and the righteous God. And they don't realize that God must bring judgment on the things that are wrong. Otherwise, we'd have a society that we live in today where judges are just make decisions based on political ways and social ways and whatever. It's not just at all. But people see this as a mockery and say, well, Noah's building this thing. It's for nothing. Y'all, the preaching about the, you know, end of the world is for nothing. Y'all just psychos and crazy to think something like that and to think that God would ever allow something like that to happen. Then we know that God's word will always come to pass. He has to. He's just. And when he said he was going to destroy the earth, he did just that. And God's judgment will always come, as he said. But God always offers a way out. We showed you that in Revelation. Even though God's wrath was coming upon the earth, and even though many people were dying, even though a lot of people didn't have the right answers and being deceived by Satan and the false prophet and the beast and so forth, God still had his 144,000 witnessing. God still had his two witnesses that were witnessing that apparently affected the entire world because they wanted them dead so bad they gave gifts when they died. They're glad they were dead. But then he brings the everlasting gospel by an angel to continue to preach the gospel to a dying world that is about to be destroyed completely. And he continues to give them a way out. And he did the same thing here at Noah's time, gave him plenty of choices and chances to get out. And so God's judgment is coming. And then the third lesson we see is God expects us to follow his plan, even if it doesn't make perfect sense to us. Have you ever been in a situation with the Lord that he's telling you to do something and saying, but Lord, I don't understand that at all. I've been many times in my life situation like that where I just didn't understand. I knew what he was saying. I just didn't understand why he was telling me this. Why did he want me to do this? Why did he want it done this way? And Noah, you had to put yourself in that situation. There was no rain at that time. He didn't even know what rain was, much less a flood. And then God gives him plans to build this enormous ark that no one ever had before. They didn't have boats then. They didn't have ships then. The architecture that God gave to this is what people use later to figure out boats could float if they still use the same dimensions. And he built this huge thing, and people are saying, what is that? And I'm sure Noah for 100-something years are going, wow, this is a lot of work. I really don't understand this at all. And then the more and more he preached, no one was listening. I mean, it's like being in church and telling people that, you know, God's coming and God, you need to repent. You need to get saved. And no one listens and no one's paying attention. And for you do that over and over and over again, it gets a little tiring. You're wondering, where are the converts at? Where are the people who listen? Why doesn't anybody believe God anymore? And it begins to get real tiresome. And you can imagine for over 100 years that Noah was going, this is just crazy, Lord. But, you know, he followed God exactly what God told him to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah. being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah did it all by faith. And see, when God tells us to do something, have us do something, or tells us to do something we don't quite understand, we ought to just take it by faith and realize, you know, we can just follow God. Noah knew what was or what was about to happen. Or this was the first time this was going to happen. The animals, he had to take the animals, two of these, seven of those. I'm sure he's thinking, I don't understand this either. Why am I doing this? But God always has a plan that's a perfect plan. And the last lesson I want to look at real quick is God is holy and righteous and can do whatever he wants with his creation. See, it's not up to us. We always think we have a better plan. We may have a plan to save the environment, but God's going to destroy this whole earth. You can try, but God has another plan. God's plan is always the best plan. He's the righteous God. He's the holy God. It's his creation. His creation, Revelation tells us, for his pleasure was it created. It's not for our pleasure. It's for his pleasure. We just happen to benefit from all the blessings that God has created. But it's for his pleasure. You know, after the storms came and the rain came, and you can imagine what was going through Noah and his family's life when they were the only ones on board with all these animals, and then they begin to feel that ark teeter and totter a little bit, and Noah, it's been raining for a while, and now it's starting to kind of float, which I'm sure Noah was going, I sure hope I built this thing right. You know that was going through his head. And then it starts floating around there, and they start to realize that, man, that everything's being covered by rain, and it's not stopping. It's just pouring down, and it's just everywhere. And I'm sure they went to the point they're just fearful that everything was really going to work out like God said it was. Like we all do sometimes when we're following God's plan, we're thinking, man, Lord, I know you told me to do that. I know this is going to work out, but man, it's just, I don't know how this is ever going to happen. But Noah makes it through that. And he finally, the ark settles on the mountain, and he finally gets out. And what's he doing? Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah built an altar. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. What was he doing? Praising God and thanking God that he and his family made it alive. After it's all said and done, he builds that altar and he says, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving our souls. We praise you for all your goodness. And we find ourselves in that situation, we need to realize that we're nothing but a sinner saved by grace. And God's judgment is going to come upon this earth. And we need to warn as many people as we can before that judgment comes, before that rain starts. And God expects us to follow his plan exactly like he said and not change it for our own benefit. Just do it like God said. And when it's all said and done, why don't you just praise him and thank him for being so good? He is worthy. God teaches us these lessons in from Noah and the flood and the things that happened there. And, you know, he tells us, he promised after this with the rainbow that God would never destroy the earth with water again. He didn't say he was never going to destroy the earth. He just said he was never going to destroy the earth with water again. But we know in Revelation it's going to be by fire. And God is being patient right now with all the wickedness and evilness in this world to give us another chance to be saved and to trust his will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments and ask God to bless these.